investigator review.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. We are your hosts.
Steve Roscoe.
Mark Berry.
What?
Rich Nicodem.
I'm Peter Leonard.
And I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero.
And we would love your phone call. I just don't know the number right now.
Let's bring that up.
Yes, I
do have a phone number here. Let me load it up and we will be right back.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll-free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
This is the show where we're going to be discussing all aspects of the paranormal. If you're an investigator, if you are an enthusiast, if you have any comments you want to make about the paranormal, we would love to hear you.
And just before we came on, we were having a nice spirited chat about spirits. Single malt whiskey and wine. I think we should continue that.
We hope everybody had a safe and happy St. Patrick's Day.
And that Irish whiskey Terracano.
The what?
What? Why can't we talk about those spirits?
If you want to. We'll probably get a
caller with those spirits. I'm sure there's a haunted distillery out there. If you own a haunted distillery, call us at whatever the number was we just played for you. It's 1-8-something-8-3-something. I was just kidding.
429-547-1429. International callers, please dial area code 530-763.
You got to rewind it, Dave, and miss that. So did you gentlemen have an enjoyable St. Patrick's Day yesterday?
We did.
Any haunted cabbage? I know I ate some and it haunted me all night. Talk about spectral wind.
I had some for lunch today. It was good.
Ew, it's 2 days old.
That's okay.
I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, David made this Reuben bake. It was phenomenal.
Actually, Stacy made that one.
David made this. No.
Yeah, it was tasty.
And he kept shoving his Dublin balls in our face, which were really good.
Which are fried Reuben balls, by the way. Deep fried Reuben balls.
Are we ever going to meet this Reuben?
Reuben who?
Reuben J. Carver. If anybody knows what TV show that came out of, let me know.
Nope.
What's happening?
Steve is like just catatonic tonight, staring at me from the last show, continuing on.
I have no idea where that came from, that TV show.
No clue.
So Steve bought himself a new device to use for research.
What'd you get, Steve?
I did.
Okay,
are we talking about my new iPad?
That I was trying not to say iPad, yes.
Yes, well, I said it. We in no way endorse
Apple products.
Except Rome apples, because they're named after Rome, New York.
Which is where we are from. The
Rome investigators.
Investigators of the paranormal.
So your tablet.
Yes.
How is it?
I love my new tablet.
Have you found apps to use for investigating, or pretty much just watch videos and listen to music and play games
for horsing around? But
yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what happens when everyone gets those things.
Yeah, and you know, I enjoy it very much.
You know, a friend of mine bought his kids the minis tablets, right? And one day we're sitting in there, he's complaining to me about his girlfriend's kids. Their father taught them how to play poker. And they're like 8 or 9 years old. Now, my father taught me how to play poker when I was a little kid. I used to go to the poker games and watch and stuff like that. again, there's no killing and shooting and death matches and poker. It's a game of, you know, bluffing. So he buys the kids these mini tablets, and they come into the office the other day, and they bring them with them to keep them occupied, right? And meanwhile, he's complaining to me about, oh, yeah, father, shows them how to, you know, play poker. That's not right. Meanwhile, the kids are like, die, die, kill him, kill him, cut his head off. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because that's much better than poker. They're like, die, yeah. Gut him. And I'm just like, they're playing some game on the tablets where they're like cutting off people's heads and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make them part psycho killers, but, you know, poker's a bad thing to learn.
I've actually found a couple of zombie games for it and that are actually very good.
No, we're not going to talk about zombies tonight.
We've had a long discussion about zombies tonight so far.
And just so you know, poker can be pretty devastating. David, were you old enough when Grandpa got arrested at the Great Pig Bust?
No.
Of 81?
I was one.
Okay. No, you weren't then. Yeah, they used to have these gigantic poker games in the men's club in Rome there, and the state police raided it. The only thing that kept our grandfather from actually getting convicted was he was wearing an apron, and he said he was working there, and they caught him with like a pig's head, and because they were having a gigantic pig roast to cover the poker game.
That's
well,
great.
You know, poker can be played for fun with your buddies. It doesn't always have to be like...
And a pig's head.
Just remember you always have the pig's head, yeah. So you don't get in trouble with the popo.
Or if you receive a pig head in your bed the next night, then you know you're screwed.
And it was at the Liberty Club.
Oh. Oh. I remember the Liberty Club.
I would have liked to have investigated the Liberty Club, but as with everything else in Rome, New York, it no longer exists.
Long gone.
I wonder if the base has got any haunted locations. The old Griffiths Air Force Base. Any of the housing areas. That looks kind of like something you could include in a zombie movie. There I go. I'm talking about zombies again. When you drive through there, it's kind of creepy. It's like kind of like, you know, like from The Walking Dead, like just deserted, you know. Except, you know what? The grass isn't mowed on there. But the grass is always mowed on
that's
The Walking
very true.
Dead.
Mm-hmm. We had a discussion about that, didn't we?
I know. Uh-huh, see? The more realistic to film in Rome, New York, than it is in Atlanta, Georgia, or Peachtree, wherever they do it.
To answer that, the building me and Mark work in actually housed several Nazi prisoners of war that they used to make them work on the bean farms up at the canning factory. And I've heard stories that people have seen Nazis walking around in one of the, they call depot buildings. It's just big warehouse buildings.
Mm. That's some of Rome's finest, most likely.
But then there's also the 14-story underground complex. That house, it's a joint military alien base, and every 4 months they let the aliens up to mingle with the civilization, which might also explain why Rome looks like the way Rome looks.
Which is?
You just have to experience. There's a website specifically dedicated to it. It's called peopleofwalmart.com.
peopleofwalmart.com.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
If it doesn't fit, don't acquit. That doesn't ring true in Rome, New York. If it doesn't fit, please put something else on before you leave the house.
But you know what? I've been to a lot of Walmarts in my travels, and I have yet to come by one that's as scary as the one in Rome, New York.
I'm telling you, seriously.
And I've been in some in the deep south.
You want to talk paranormal, go to Rome Walmart. You could just bring all your equipment.
You could have a field day.
Well, that's because they're wearing human suits. They're the aliens that are from the base. I mean,
you know they're just not quite right.
They couldn't find better human suits?
They have a slightly uranic smell. Uranic?
Uranic? Uranus?
What's the plural for
urine?
Urination?
Urine. Pee-pee. They smell like pee-pee. It's the cloak, the smell of whatever planet it is they come from. You can't tell me any different.
They're the lizard people? The reptilians?
Probably. They don't have any teeth.
Oh.
Just makes for more pleasure at nighttime.
The show just got weird.
Reptilian? Yeah, okay. No, but there's quite a more UFO site. Griffiths is actually a mecca for the UFO community. We are trying to... I would like to actually set up a UFO convention up there. I think it would be very interesting.
To the men in black suits came and took
on the runway.
And at the current rate we're going, when we enter the nuclear war with Russia, you'll see all those missiles come up out of the ground that were apparently removed 20 years ago. What's that? Never mind. You've got 20 minutes. Fascinating UFO stories there about the web-like discharges that they find. I wouldn't even think of anyone. The web-like discharges that they find in the trees there, which they've actually sent off to be tested, and it comes back with no human origin. There's the snarling, gnarly creature that lives in the woods out near the golf course there. I want to go looking for that one.
What? The snarling, gnarly?
What is the snarly, gnarly?
He eats a lot of carrots. At the same time, I'm like doing snarly, some weird thing with my
gnarly. I'm trying to picture this.
The Easter Bunny lives in Rome?
There was even a report of one of the a lady airmen was coming home late at night driving back on Penny Street Cemetery Road near Floyd, and she hit an alien. Ran out from the woods and she hit it.
When was this?
And then she drives back and reports the thing. Don't you throw it in your car with you? I mean, I think if I would have hit an alien, I would have taken it hostage or something. Hold it for ransom. My first call would have been National Enquirer. Not to my commanding colonel.
You want those coming after you?
What are they going to do? They don't have any teeth.
But they have probes.
But you do got to watch the snarly, gnarly ones. I could use a good probing, I'll be honest with you. Nothing loosens things up like a good probing, eh, boys?
Our engineers at VBS are just rolling their eyes right now.
What the heck?
However, you did warn them that tonight's going to be one of those nights. So...
Steve's still just looking at me. Snarly, gnarly.
I'm trying to picture this in my head. Snarly, gnarly.
Hosted by the rogue investigators of the paranormal. Visit us online at www.rogueinvestigatorsoftheparanormal.com.
Steve's all thug-like. Look at him. He's got headphones on. He's got his hat from the hood.
I got my Paul Kersey.
Are those Beats
on.
You got on?
Huh?
Are those Beats by Dr. Dre's you're wearing?
Yeah, no.
He does have a web-like discharge all over him.
I got my stocking cap, my good old...
You wear a stocking on your head?
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Absolutely.
I wore a do-rag once.
That's what these are called, stocking cap.
And you did. You did with your do-rag.
You want to do-rag it for the next show?
Oh, absolutely. We can do-rag it. We get one for Dave and Mark and... Everybody, and
that's it. David's just had it. He handed the microphone to Mark. I took him out with the snarly, gnarly. Look at the snarly, gnarly driving up the street on a Harley.
If I'm not mistaken, we actually work with that one.
The principle is there that they are wearing a human suit. I mean, surely you've seen Men in Black where the guy's wearing an Edgar suit. Okay, nobody here saw Men in Black either, right? I mean,
I seen the first one, but it was like I seen the first one, but it was like a long time ago, and
what did he need? He needed salt,
sugar.
I can't remember.
Oh,
what
sugar,
he
yeah, the other white thing.
I can't remember. It's been a long time.
It's very
time.
Popular in the burbs, and I just snorted a booger back with it. So, Rich, we did an investigation up in a museum a few weeks ago, and you put out a very unique, interesting recording device. And since we have the technology master here today,
I did.
Maybe you two can web-like discharge that and let everybody.
My interesting recording device.
It's a recorder.
An essay by Rich Nicodem. Yeah, one of the pieces of equipment we use in all of our investigation is digital audio recorders. And I had a couple pieces of... I have the equipment here with me tonight. I got it from Digital Dowsing. So one is an EM speaker and the other is an EM mic. And essentially what I do is I use my iPhone, and I've got a really cool digital audio recorder program I download. It was like 99 cents. If anyone wants to check out the app for this, if you have an iPhone... It's called, let's find it up here on my phone. It's called HT Recorder. And it was like 99 cents. But you can actually record questions and stuff, and then you can loop whatever you want to do and save it as a track. And you can actually put it in a library. You can actually send it as a WAV file. So it's pretty cool. So what I did is I kind of recorded a bunch of just general questions, and I looped it on my iPhone, and I plugged this EM microphone into the iPhone. It's a passive device, and you don't hear anything. So what it's doing is it's transmitting the sound as EM waves. So if you put a K2 up to it, you'll see the K2 spike up and down like that. So, and then what I did is I took a digital audio recorder I had, and I put the EM microphone. Sorry, I put the EM speaker on the iPhone. Put the EM mic on the digital recorder. So essentially what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to pick up the EM transmission. Mm-hmm. So the theory behind it is that sometimes with audio sessions, spirits communicate in EM versus actual vocal voices. And the nice thing about this is it doesn't pick up any talking, because we have a couple of chatty investigators in our team, and they're talking and making noises. So you can talk the whole time, you can walk, you can bang on things, and you're not going to pick up any of that noise, which is kind of nice. So
thank you.
So I tried that, and I'm still going through the recording, so hopefully, you know, hopefully we can pick something up. Versus the standard audio recording, where it's kind of like, who's there, what's your name,
right.
And we just take standard audio. So it's actually a cool little kit, and it came with a white noise generator. So, or EM pump, just another fancy term.
Yeah,
so
just know what you get. Hopefully you got something good.
Well, I don't know. Ever since I've been doing the audio recordings with the EM pumps and the white noise generators, I get a little better results.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've been going before and doing EVP stuff and getting nothing. So I don't know if this is like a little beacon that like kind of they can see or increases whatever noise is there. I don't know, but it tends to help.
Maybe it's a power supply that they can feel.
Sacrificial battery?
You know, yeah, absolutely.
This is true. I mean, ever since I've been using it, I've noticed that I haven't been losing the battery power on my audio recorders, which was happening for quite some time there. I put fresh batteries in, turning on, turn around, look, it's dead. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yep.
Within 5 minutes. It's not like they use a lot of juice. I mean, right off the get-go. But I'm just saying.
There's a lot of great devices out there that are still being explored. The EM speaker and the EM transmitter, all that stuff. Those are some cool devices.
How about the Ovilus? Oh boy!
No, let's not talk about that. That's a
Dave. You've got that right.
No, I had it. I returned it.
So he says
that was crazy.
Okay.
Doesn't work. Right? No, that thing never worked. It had the same repeating pattern of words over and over and over again every 32 minutes or something. 33. I timed it.
Okay.
You guys got olives? Is that what you said?
Yes. Green olives.
I was just going through the Facebook realm here, and there's a picture from the movie Taken. Have you guys seen Taken?
Yes.
No, I've never seen
with Liam Neeson. He's on the telephone saying, "I don't know who you are, but I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kill you." And on the other end of the phone is Michael Myers.
I like that. That was pretty good, B.
I was looking on some of these websites, the paranormal news websites, and over the last 6 months, there's been a huge amount of videos showing up or photos showing up of death photos, like photos taken at the time of somebody's death. Usually it's like surveillance, you know, like surveillance camera footage or whatever. And there's a lot of them that show apparitions hovering over the dead or dying person. A couple of them claim that they're either demons or aliens as well that may be hovering over these the deceased. So I don't know if there's a trend going on with death watching or dead spotting, or there was some kind of unusual term that surrounded that. But I was just looking at my phone here a minute ago and yet another one popped up.
Well, there would be a crossover into scatomancing, too, because there's always the death poop.
Would you want somebody in the room with you at the moment of your death to catalog and see if anything's different about you?
I
don't think I'd mind, actually.
I don't think you would mind. Know.
Why would you care at that point?
At that point, why would exactly? But I wouldn't mind, you know, in the cause of science, I think I wouldn't mind. You know, having all my friends there happen to be paranormal investigators, most of them. They're at the time of my death to see if anything about me's changed.
Cool, Steve's going to die. Come on, everybody. Let's gather around and check this out. Die, 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 die. Yeah!
I just want everybody to have a keg, you know, right there when that time comes. You know, have a keg, have a couple beers on me, you know, by
morbid.
That time, you know.
But remember, morbid. Remember back to our discussion in the fall of the year that researchers found that the brain actually is alive for up to days after a person dies. Or after a person's heart stops beating, let's put it that way.
I was going to say, then can they really call it death if your brain
right.
is still going?
Exactly. There's a lot of controversy over that still.
So we should be calling it shat.
Not unless they put you in the crematorium. Then your brain's not going to work anymore. I'm going to stick you in that gas oven.
I'm not a fan of that. I'm old school Italian. I got to know where the body is at all times. Box it and bury it.
So a lot of people are saying, you know, that just what you said, you know, take pictures of the deceased right at the time of their death.
Sure,
but at the time of their death, by medical terms, they're not actually fully deceased. The brain is still active. So.
Weren't there back in the turn of the century, weren't there experiments on that? A doctor or somebody actually brought people that were terminally ill and on their last breath, basically, they put them on this bed with weights and everything at the time of the death. Didn't some people lose actually some weight?
Mass?
Yeah.
It's like 21 ounces or something.
Yeah,
there
something
was a movie
like that,
made
yeah.
about that. I think mm-hmm. what's his name was in it. The guy who played the Incredible Bulk.
You know, I can't remember who starred in the movie or what have you, but yeah, there was, and I find that very interesting.
Well, if anybody out there is interested in that research, it was out of the State University of New York at Stony Brook, and it was about reanimation. So if anybody wants to look that up, that...
Well, there was that guy, too, in the 1800s that reanimated people there. What was his name? Frankenstein? He took the dead and make them whole.
He did.
Yeah, but doesn't the brain pump oxygen? Or excuse me, brain. The heart pump oxygen to the brain?
Well, it pumps oxygenated blood.
Right.
But
once it stops pumping, I mean, the brain still goes on without the oxygenated blood.
You know, it's like a gas engine. The gas runs out, and for the next few seconds, whatever, the car keeps on going until it depletes all of the gas. Just so happens in the brain, it takes a little bit longer, and
or someone's bowels.
Yeah, or someone's bowels.
Like the new CPR standards. There's no more blowing; it's just pumping. It's just chest
compressions.
Chest
no oxygen.
So things are changing, people. Things are changing.
Science is moving forward.
We've proved all along that half these kids out there don't have any oxygen up there, and they're fully functioning.
That's right. That's right.
And you're also going to see the phenomenon in the next 20 years that they don't even need to go to college. They already know everything as soon as they're born.
Yeah. Or so they think.
Oh, wait, that's the political show we do. Never mind.
Should we talk about Common Core standards? No, I'm kidding. Let's not go there.
Common Core
standards.
That's
it. We got 12 calls. No. Common crust stains?
Yep.
You know, I found something. I found a website called ghoststudy.com. You ever guys... check this site out?
No.
There's actually a pretty cool photo. What it is a 3D sonogram revealing the face of this woman's dead father on the baby. And if you look at it, I mean, if this really is, you can see the child's face and hand, and you can see a picture of the father's face. And then there's a picture of what the father looks like below. And it looks pretty identical. Same kind of mustache goatee thing and everything. So,
do you all know what the Predator is, the comic book movie Predator?
No, never heard of it.
I thought you meant to catch a predator.
No, the Predator, like that beast.
You know, you have one yellow pumpkin in your window.
Yes.
What? Okay. It's funny that you mentioned that. I looked at a website today, and there was a little picture of a 3D sonogram of a baby, and the face looked exactly like the Predator, and they had the side-by-side photo. And it just, the way the shadows fell, it looked like the Predator.
Yeah, this looks like an actual face with the glasses and the goatee, the nose, and the eyebrows and everything.
Can you spin that?
On top of the baby.
Oh. That's
okay. There he is.
Yeah.
There. And there, here's his face right here.
Hmm.
There's the baby. So if you kind of take it, bring it down here for
the grandfather's deceased.
See, there's his face. There's the baby's, and the baby's hand, baby's body.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always some skepticism, but I mean, if you look at it, you can see that.
So
I can see what they're talking about. I don't know if I believe it, but I can certainly see it.
This article or this thing is a piece on reincarnation, maybe.
Well, it's the way they have it on here is this woman named Charity lost her father. She wrote a little like paragraph and stuff, and she wants some help with identifying the photo. And basically, I guess it's about the same time the baby's born, her father died, around the same month or so. So, and she looked through the sonogram, and then she noticed it, and then she put a picture of her father up, sent a picture of her father in actually with the sonogram photo. And if you look at it, it does look it. I mean, it's hard to deny that it doesn't look like it. I mean, it could be trickery. It could just be, you know, matrixing. But yeah. I mean, tell me that does not look like him.
This is true, but I also know people have seen Elvis in their potato chips, so it does.
And Jesus in their bird poop.
Yes,
that was the last hour.
It does look quite a bit like it. There is no denying that it does look very similar. But
sure.
It comes down to, I mean, what would cause that other than. It's random motion at a random point in time. So, who knows?
Yeah. Up and see that's the vegan.
However, that one... Scroll up.
The phone lines are now open at 1-888-429-5471. This is the BBS radio.
I thought you were flipping me off, dude. I'm catching you out of my peripheral vision as I'm staring at the screen here.
If you'd like to flip us off, it's 1-888-429-5471, Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Dude, really? Hold on a second.
Okay, we're on pursuit. We're in high pursuit of the paranormal.
So what do you think, Pete and everybody? Reincarnation, you believe in it?
It's a donation.
Is that their powdered milk?
I think so.
Oh, no.
This is a photo. Looks like something's actually coming out the window. Doesn't it look pretty cool?
I personally don't subscribe to the reincarnation method of death. I want there to be instant gratification.
So you
when it's over, I want
to
go right
into
the next
dimension. You don't
want
to have to do all this all over again. Is that what you're saying?
Heck no.
And as that T-shirt David has, I want to be the rich prince in the next dimension I get flushed into.
Mark, what is your outtake on this?
The pea brain shirt. Pea membrane breast.
Reincarnation in what sense, though? There's many different concepts.
Let's just narrow it down to this. You die. You are reborn into another human being.
That's pretty cool.
Well, there's... Then you're getting kind of into the past life concept and all that as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah.
What do you think?
Are you referencing the vagina theory?
Suppose it's no more plausible than anything else, or no more deniable than anything else, I guess. Mm-hmm. It requires there to be some essence or soul or whatever you want to call it that carries on and gets planted in something else. I mean, you have some folks believe it, be reincarnated as an animal, or other people believe it's just another person.
Mm-hmm.
You wait in line, get dropped into somebody else when the time comes, and then there's the vagina theory.
You gotta wait in line for that?
Would you ever notice, though?
No. You have to wait in line for vagina? Or to be reincarnated?
That's if you're going now.
Have you done either or?
That's another show.
Only
what about
Tijuana.
You, Rich? What do you think?
About reincarnation?
Yeah.
Past
no,
life
about
reincarnation.
The other thing.
Well, the whole thing with the past life reincarnation and stuff like that, I mean, I'm open to investigating and being skeptical and researching anything, but the only thing I have with the whole reincarnation thing is, I mean, most people I know aren't even aware of it. I mean, like, some people I've come across, they have these vivid dreams or they remember things, but most of the people that I've ever talked to about it, like, just 99% of them have no idea. So all these people, including myself, have never been reincarnated. We're going to be reincarnated for the very first time after we die, or, you know... Were we something in a past life? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird, I guess. You know, I mean, I would just like to really talk to a credible person about it, really has a credible story to tell and really sit down and then kind of weigh the decision how I feel about it. You know what I mean?
There is the idea behind the vivid dreams and the believing that you were someone else in the past, that based on more rather than paranormal, more just the idea of genetic memory, as in maybe somebody in your past had experienced something so profound it implanted literally at that point.
The thing though, everything we do, everything is theory. That's the thing. You know, it's all hypotheses and theory.
Yes.
I mean, when they start showing, when they start giving me specific proof, and then I'll start buying into other things. Like, you know, again, I mean, it's very simple things like Bigfoot. Do I believe Bigfoot? I don't know. I would like to. I see a lot of stuff, evidence, but again, it's all theories and really sketchy evidence. So I'm not going to make a solid judgment call on it until I actually see it from my own two eyes, or you give me a piece of evidence that's like just irrefutable.
I wear third cousin after all.
I wear a size 13. Does that qualify for Bigfoot?
No.
No.
I was going to say though that my entire childhood, I had recurring dreams of a place in Ireland, and it was the same setting, the same scene, and as I talk about it right now, I could see it. It was just week after week, month after month, year after year, I had the same dream, you know, at night while I was sleeping, and I knew that it was Ireland, and I knew roughly where in Ireland it was, and as an adult, I knew someday when I went to Ireland, my goal was to find that or something that looked like that. Now, as a very young child, I'm talking like 4 years old, 5 years old, where would somebody have, where would I have gotten that from?
And when you went to Ireland, did you find the spot?
Well, I went to the county. I knew roughly what county it was in, but time constraints, I couldn't go exploring, you know. It was around the Ring of Kerry. That's where, and, you know, I'm Italian. We're Italian all the way back, so it's not like I've ever been there or any relatives or ancestors before me came from there.
You know, I would like to be able to say, no, I don't believe in this reincarnation or past life thing. It's too hokey. Or, you know, like Rich said, give me some evidence. But there's stories like yours and others that I've heard that kind of make you think.
And the other thing, medieval. Anything medieval, I've always just got. I was never a history person. Pete was the history person of the family. I never did well in history. I never understood, you know, the importance or significance or the interconnectedness of anything until I learned about the medieval period. And then everything was just crystal clear, made sense. I loved it. I would go back to 1300 Europe in a heartbeat if I could.
And you don't play D&D.
And I don't play Dungeons and Dragons. I don't do any of that stuff.
Why would you go back to the 1300s?
Because I'm just drawn to it.
Did they have the Black Plague?
1349, yeah.
But I was just going to say, Candy watching the Game of Thrones all weekend, the only thing I could tell her was they deserve the Black Plague.
But I've always said, again, even as a child, if I could go back to any place in time, I would go back home to the medieval period. It just feels like that's more home to me than here and now. It's weird.
And that is strange.
It's unusual.
The children's stories are the one. I got a book someplace. If I find it, I'll let you borrow it, Steve. It's about children and reincarnation. And it was like this one child. He was like five. But from the age of three, he kept talking about this fire that he died in. And he kept telling his mom and dad, he's like, I picked you. He's like, I got to pick you because you two looked nice. And it's like, where's all that? It's stories like that.
The same story I heard about this five-year-old child going into this woman's home and telling this woman about her life. Five-year-old kid, never met this woman, never been to her home, never met her husband, who is now deceased, by the way. Says, told her all about her life with her husband, told her what they like to do, told her what their favorite things were, told her about the remodeling of the home, told her everything about her life. And where does this five-year-old kid come up with this?
See, the thing is, too, you, like Rich said, you want to talk to a credible witness with this, not people that have been under hypnotic regression therapy, because I believe that all, maybe I'll get in trouble saying this, I think that's all a bunch of hokey crap, too. Because I've seen stuff about that where people have implanted stuff I forgot what it was. There were like 30 people that went through a hypnotic regression that all lived in the same town in the 1800s at the same time. And these people had no connection to each other other than they all went to the same hypnotherapist.
Hypnosis in itself is all about mental suggestion at that point anyway. Just putting somebody under, you're controlling the aspects of their mind. So it's not too far of a leap to say that you're implanting that concept.
But our own Vinny has also said, after your life, you choose where you go into the next life. There's like a series of challenges you have to complete before you're able to move on to wherever we're moving on to.
A lot.
If that's the case, I'm going back to kick my ass because this last one was really a pain.
A lot of people believe life is like a school. You go through life and you learn through different lifetimes that you have to learn in order to go on to the next level or whatever. Some people believe that. Some religions believe that. I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but
you choose to be a rapist. See, that's where I take these theories probably too far.
Well,
but
it's
why would you choose that life to be a prisoner?
I don't know. I don't know.
To go to the next level, all I used to do was jump off the top of the stairs and grab the flagpole.
No,
but that was just me.
No, we're not playing Mario. Are you saying life is like Mario, brother?
A little bit, I suppose.
But that's just some of the things, it's just very, very, I'm sure there are a lot of stories on there and if people listening can go research that for themselves, but I find it fascinating. I really do.
And people who can travel their astrals, they go to the Akashic Hall of Records where all that knowledge is stored, past, present, and what's to come. Which brings in the linear theory of history.
If you know what's going to come, doesn't it kind of take the fun out of things sometimes? Especially if it's bad. You don't want to know bad stuff coming in.
Conceptually, you're getting to the point where you're saying that there's fate or something's pre-planned. And
see, I don't believe in that. I don't think your life is pre-planned or there's destiny. I think you make it. Life is what you make of it.
Oh, Steve, we're going to make you a Catholic after all. Free choice. Now give me $50.
Yeah. $50, you make me never mind.
Well, that's what the paranormal is really all about. It's a lot of theories and it's all about getting to the bottom of everything. And I don't basically kick anyone's theory under the table. I mean, everyone's open.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of people in the paranormal that basically have their way, and everyone else's opinion they think is just crap, and they gotta pretty much take people and basically drag their names to the mud and all that kind of crap. I don't believe in it. Everyone has their own view of things.
Sure,
you know?
Absolutely.
May not be my view, but I've had success with the way I do things. Great. You may not. However, I'm open to anyone's idea, anyone's suggestion. Many different things like the past life regression and all that kind of, I don't necessarily believe in it, but I want to. If you can prove it to me and show it to me, factual. I mean, what David lives and talks about, it's real to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he experiences it. So how can it be wrong to him? How can it be something that's non-believable, something that doesn't happen when he lives it all the time? So again, I think it comes down to people have to have an open mind when it comes to all this kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, since I've been in this paranormal, I've seen some weird ass things. And you give me a box and I'm supposed to hear voices out of it and supposed to talk back to me. I would have told you 10 years ago you're full of crap. Mm-hmm. But then when I heard it from my very own two ears on more than one occasion, then you start to open up your idea. Maybe there is something here. Do I still fully believe in it? I'm still kind of on the fence. But the more stuff that I experience, like you said, the more you open your mind, the more I think you're willing to believe things, and I think the more that you're willing to accept other people's ideas on things. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, because again, you watch some of these paranormal shows. I watch the way like some of these people investigate, like the guys from Ghost Adventures, and I just shake my head. That's not how I would do it. No. They're going around flexing their muscles. Come on, Mr. Ghost, let's go at it.
That's not my way.
That's
to
how.
Do things
yeah,
either.
But again, I'm not going to basically tell them what they're doing wrong. That's their methodology.
Absolutely.
That works for them.
Yep.
It creates great drama on TV. That's their job. Good for them.
Yep.
I have a different approach to things. So, and they may look at me and say, well, the way you're doing is stupid and it's wrong. That's not how we do it. Good.
Yep.
Then show me how.
We're all doing it stupid and wrong in some aspect. And
well, that's what I'm trying
to
say.
Find our way.
That's what I'm trying to say. So, I mean, you got some people in this field are very vanilla. They do very vanilla processes, play it safe. And then you got people who basically like Chris Moon, who does things that are kind of very controversial, and people kick at him because of it. but he gets success at what he does. And it just comes to the point, what do you want to do? How far do you want to take it? How do you want to be open to it? I mean, I bought some of this equipment. I have like these EM things from digital dowsing. I mean, you read online, everything works online. Whenever you read it, oh, it does this and does that. Well, that's great. Super. Fantastic. So I'm going to buy it. It's still a gamble. You know what I'm saying? I've tried it. I understand the technology behind it, the concept of it. I still haven't experienced anything with it. I've gotten any hardcore data, but I'm not going to say, oh, it's just crap, doesn't work. Like Dave tried the Ovilus. I mean, that's a big step for Dave because, I mean, I knew he was on the fence before he even bought it. But he bought it. He tried it. He even, like, did data sampling with it. He basically timed what it does. I mean, he ran it through a gamut of different things, and it came back into his experience and to where he is at this point. It doesn't work. So he got rid of it, you know? Then there are other people that take that Ovilus and, oh, my God, I get great things. I got demons around me. Oh, it works all the time. Yep. Well, you know, maybe for you. I'm still not sold on the idea of the Ovilus.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. When I watch YouTube things and it's like, well, demon. Oh, we got a demon in the room. Why? Because it said demon? We don't even know what triggers it. You mean to tell me that the ghost is going to look in and it's going to be like, ghost, demon, Joe. I mean, is that what it was? They got to go in and pick what word they want to use? I guess I don't. To me, it's just hokey. You know what I mean? But obviously, there must be some science behind it or the guy wouldn't have invented it, you know?
I will definitively say that it is not a functioning piece of equipment whatsoever. There have been test upon test upon tests. The concepts behind it are ridiculous. I've messed with the whole algorithm for it. It's not. It is nothing more than what most of these cell phones apps are, and it's a list of words with a random generation. It uses a table to determine what frequency gives you what word, but it is nothing more than that.
No, I understand all that, but basically, how does a spirit use that? You're talking to somebody from the 17th century or the 18th century, and then basically going to go in and say, what algorithm should I use?
That's you know the what I'm same saying? With a Frank's box. That's so how would they learn
well, they're very
know how to use that? You
very
know?
Different ideas behind the two things, and with the Ovilus, that's just it. Nothing uses it. It uses it. Your Wi-Fi connection uses it.
And as far as the Frank's box, we've got some amazing things out of that.
Ooh. There's a very different idea behind that too.
And some groups have used it, and they say it's hokey and doesn't work. You know, I mean, to each his own. You know, I mean, I've even talked to a few people that don't even use audio recorders. It's like, you can't say that's a ghost talking. It might just be a random voice in the environment or something. Mm-hmm. And they have a valid point.
And they do, and then we really can't. That's why we don't necessarily say that. Whether people make their own assumptions and their own decisions based on that. But there's some things where, like, you really do just have to, at some point, throw stuff to the wayside because it's just out there for gimmick sales. Mm-hmm. And with the Frank's box, the concept there, we've had some amazing things with it, and people say it's hokey. It is in some situations, but there are times we've had sentences, statements, and words come out that have no other place on the radio. So we have had results.
Exactly. And I know Dave personally not a big fan of the Frank's box. And, you know, and again, I mean, he has his specific reasons. And there's times I've used it and I got nothing. It's just a lot of squawking noise. But then there's an occasion we do an investigation. And like Mark said, there's sentences coming out of it and two syllable, you know, and it's just like, okay. I mean, this is very highly unlikely at this thing scanning through the radio stations that someone's listening in some place with some highly advanced device and is going to basically answer our questions. I mean, it's just...
I'm not a big fan of it either normally, but I was even there when we had direct responses related to one of our clients that were so personal, there was no way those came to the radio. The mathematic probability to begin with was astronomical, and then the statements that came out were, in my mind, not explainable in any other way. So it has had results for us, so I'll give that one some credit. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's some other, I'm sure there's some other equipment out there that's being used that is just kind of, you know, we'll be like, yeah, right. But someone else is using it and they're getting some results. Or in their own mind, it's validating what they're doing. Like I said, the Ovilus to me, I understand the specifics, how it runs, the algorithm and all this stuff. But the thing is that how does someone from the 1800s reach out to somebody and talk to you about that? Do they understand digital electronics? Do they understand RF engineering? Chances are no. So they're going to go in there and try to pick an algorithm or some binary code or something, and they're going to go ahead and answer that. I just think it's just random energy comes through based on how intense it is or maybe the wavelength. It just triggers a word, you know, demon. So that's how demons talk to us through the Ovilus? I don't know. I'm not sold on it. I want to be a believer in it. I do. but you need to throw at me something more than that.
I think so.
Back in the day before Rich and Steve joined the team, we had a resident expert, Tristan.
Oh, God. And Skeptic.
Well, he said something which was a hard pill to swallow, and this piggybacks on afterlife. He said, just because you want something to be so doesn't mean it will be so. And that's always grounded me. I mean, that is a hard pill to under. This may all be for naught. I mean, what we think is happening may not be happening. Well, it may just end and it's over.
And that's it. That's all there is.
Consider back to the dawn of time even. I mean, there were things we didn't understand that were explained as spirits and gods and demons and that now we've determined are fully explainable and open concepts. I mean, we know why the sun sets and why the sun rises. It's no longer somebody in a chariot pulling it over the skies.
I mean, the world's not flat. It's actually round. Yeah, and that's a valid point. And the thing is, I truly believe, again, and people are going to disagree with me, I believe that we go on to something. I believe since I've been doing stuff in the paranormal, I've come across proof and validation for me as a human being that things go on. Life goes on. You become a higher conscious or something. It just doesn't end. You know what I'm saying? And that was validation for me enough. So no one can tell me any different. And I'm not going to call him a liar, but I have my own proof.
I kind of thought that before I started this paranormal investigation. I always had, always thought, there's got to be something more. I think we all have that.
That's why we do it.
Yeah.
One of the main reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that then. I think that now. And Mark?
I don't. That's just me, though. I mean,
You think this is it? When I die, I quickly degrade to fertilizer, nothing.
And become someone else's food. That's about as far as I go.
So you become a bell pepper.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I mean, if you want to make chili with me, you might as well start now and just start cutting off a leg or something.
I do. I think there's some. I agree with you, Rich, on that. I think there's something. And since I've been doing this,
we've got the gnarly going.
If you do this, you'd understand where we're coming from. That yet you see a lot of different things.
There's a lot to believe in. And no, I mean, we're all varying faiths in the group, and we have all of our own viewpoints.
Absolutely.
The way we view, I mean, and Rich is absolutely right. He's validated what he wanted to validate for himself. It makes sense to him. That is proof for him. No one will knock that. And never will. It's great. And honestly, I've seen things I'll never be able to explain. And even today, I don't know how things have happened. Like the Buffalo Naval Yard and the door slamming on our camera. I can't explain that. We had an engineer that couldn't explain it. Against the lean of the ship. Things that happen we cannot explain.
We never say anything's a ghost. I've never heard any of you guys ever say that was a ghost. We just say it's something we can't explain or it's paranormal. Exactly.
Right now, I mean, that's the thing. There is no, and this is not just a broad statement, there is no physical proof of the paranormal, period. What we have found are a lot of things we cannot explain to date with what technology we have, knowledge we have. Do I think it was something that may have moved by or done something? Maybe. Mm-hmm. There is no. If there was, one of us would be $1 million richer right now.
Yeah, and then
10, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean we're getting one step closer. We're taking little baby steps. We're getting one step closer to some answers at some point. Maybe not in our lifetime, but I got to tell you, when we did an investigation up north, and I did a Frank's Box session with the lady who owned the house, her husband perished, and again, this is validation for me. And what I did is the last thing I wanted to do was implant ideas into this woman's head. I said, you tell me the questions you want me to ask, and I'll ask the questions. So we were in the bedroom. We had the Frank's box going. We had some digital recorders. It was me and Diane. Pete was there, but I don't think you were in the room with us.
It's in a different room.
Right. And the lady was there, and she said, okay. She goes, okay. She goes, ask him his name, and it came back, and it said his name. I can't remember what was off the top of my head. Ask him how he died. Okay, and then I say that. Nick was the name. Nick, how did you die? And he came back and said, what the hell was it? Pancreatic cancer. I just stopped for a second. I go, that just said pancreatic cancer. And then she goes, yeah. She goes, I must have told you that. Okay, maybe you did. That's what I said. Maybe you did. Maybe we had this discussion. So keep going. Just keep getting questions. And she's like, well, ask him what his favorite thing to do in the whole world was. So I'm like, okay, Nick, what was your favorite thing in the world? Skiing. I go, skiing. And then her eyes started to well up in tear. And I'm like, okay, well, answer another question. She's like, she goes, if you get this and this really is something to it. And I said, well, ask a question. She goes, where was his favorite place in the whole world to ski? And he's been in Switzerland. He's been all across the United States. Where was his favorite place? And I'm like, Nick, where is your favorite place to ski? Comes back, Greek Peak. Said it exactly like that. I go, Greek Peak. And she's just starting to bawl. And I'm like, did I say something to offend you? She's like, no, that was his favorite place.
And how are you supposed to tell that woman there's nothing to this? This is just a figment of your imagination.
That was validation for me.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
We have a caller. We're going to jump right to them. Caller, are you there?
Hi, it's Mike in California. I love the discussion, the meaning of life. I'd like to ask each of you, what is the meaning of life for you? It seems like for me it boils down to what you do with your life. That seems to define the meaning of life for everybody, whether it's your family or in your work or, you know, that. The other stuff seems to be just talk, you know, extraneous.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do a lot of talking about what happens after this life because that's, you know, what we investigate, but that's not meant
well, again,
by any
that's
means
talk,
to,
but I mean, right. What do you each feel is the meaning of life for each of you? That's what I would like to know.
Well, this is Pete. For me personally, I feel that I have a certain amount of time here and that I have to do something to leave a legacy. I mean, that's my personal train of thought. That's why I'm so involved with history. I try to preserve what I can to pass it on to the next generation. That's what I hope my legacy is.
So it's a service of education.
Sort of, yes.
That's the way you'd sum it? Yeah.
I mean, all obviously right. Family, too, is of paramount importance to me. That's how I grew up, being an Italian-American. Family was first, and friends are first and second. And we just ate a lot.
That's cool.
This is Rich. To answer your question, to me, is to leave the world a better place than it was when I got in. And that is to pretty much help people the best you can. And a lot of things that we do in life, like going to work and making money, all this stuff, it's just things that we need to do to sustain our existence or to help make other people happy. But to me, it's really about helping people and trying to make the world a better place when I leave here. So it's been good to me, so I'm hoping that I can make it better for somebody else.
You know, Rich, I agree with you there. It's basically the same for me. You know, leave the world a better place. Treat people the way you want to be treated. That's just about it.
Although the meaning of
you
life...
know, there's a follow-up question to this because, you know, that's as individuals how you feel. Do you feel like there's a collective goal or a special future for the human race? Some kind of Star Trek utopian future? That's what I would like to see. What will happen in actuality, I don't know.
That's interesting, and I think that goes back to what Mark was saying a little bit earlier about genetic memory, that in all of us is a little bit of what came before us. So I guess in all of us currently is a little bit of what's to come. So, you know, like Pete and Rich and Steve talked about legacy and family and all that. You know, I have a little bit different perspective of things. I'm a little bit weirder about that. I think things are a little bit more random, and I always go by the feeling that I didn't choose to be here. It wasn't a conscious choice. It just kind of happened. So I don't know what the purpose of any of it is. I just kind of go day to day and hope to figure it out as I come to it. But
that's very honest. That's pretty. I'm honest. Yeah.
I can't say that there's.
That's the way I feel too, pretty much. But I agree with about trying to do the best you can while you're here.
Yeah.
Naturally.
That's it. Well, good. I thank you for calling us. We appreciate it, and we hope
you
are enjoying the show.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, please call back again.
Thank you.
Okay, well.
Although I will say The Meaning of Life by Monty Python was a really good movie.
That was a very good movie.
Wow. You know what? Sometimes it feels like that life is like a game, a detective game, where essentially there's all these clues, and mankind has to constantly solve a riddle or a mystery. And go on to the next. And we become smarter. We become more developed. We become more superior as we go along the way. And, I mean, the hunt for knowledge seems to be, you know.
You know, there's always a mortality aspect of it, though. As you go through life and you live and you lose loved ones, you realize that we're all just racing toward an inevitable end. And
it's pretty gloomy.
Seriously, everybody that came before us.
This is where the question comes in. What is at that end?
Yep. Everybody who's come before. I don't know one person in history that's made it out alive. I heard that, and that was a fantastic quote. And, you know, I think regardless of what we do, we're all destined for the same end. So we just got to do what we can do while we have the time to do it.
Well, I try to be a little bit more optimistic. I try to basically, like, you know, I don't know if there's going to be an end someplace, but you know what? I'm not looking towards it. I'm just going to look at every day, whatever I can do to enjoy myself and do what I can do. And
you got to be ready, Rich.
I you know, I don't
always
care.
Prepared. I was a Boy Scout.
I don't care.
And is the end really the end, or is it
just the
beginning of something else?
I don't, and I agree with you. I don't believe it is the end.
Absolutely not. I don't think so, Rich.
I'm in no hurry to find out.
Yeah.
No, I'm not either.
But can I just touch quick on one thing Mike did say was a collective goal for the human race? I think we are millennial away from that.
Easily.
We are multiple generations away from any kind of world peace to actually
before we
could even start settling space or acting as one.
For the Star Trek utopian style existence, yes, but I figure there is a collective goal in some sense, and that is like, as everyone was saying, to at least make the world better for themselves, everyone around them in that sense. So there's a goal, but we're nowhere near obtaining that goal to a full point. So that, there is probably a goal, but we're just not quite inside of it yet. We're doing what we can, but who knows?
Star Trek was what, 2400? So we got 400 years.
2400.
We got to get off the planet first. But
yeah, and
but
don't
be
you
so
feel
mad that we miss out on all of that, won't you?
I'll let you,
you
guys,
know
what?
I
want to
be on
like
the first ship that goes warp one.
You can go to Mars.
I want to be Zefrin Cochrane.
But don't you guys feel like you're actually like truth seekers? You know what I mean? There's some people who are oblivious to all this. They just do their job, go to work, you know, do whatever it is that, you know, for fun or
a mundane life.
Yeah,
kind of
a routine where, like, we're kind of like the truth seekers where we're looking for answers to something that's there, these clues. Mm-hmm. You know what
makes
I mean?
Sense.
So maybe it'll benefit us in the long run.
Never say to somebody retiring in the office you work with, I hope you don't die soon.
Oh, dear.
But that's really, that's what it is. People just go through the daily grind and 30 years later and they find themselves in retirement, and it's just a matter of, like Dave says, the gloom and doom is right around. Get the broom and sweep them in the hole. And on that point, I'm Leonard Peter.
I'm Stephen Donald.
I like that, Stephen Donald.
You're the man with two first names.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I don't really know. I'm a man of three first names in that sense. I'm Mark Berry. I'll just stick it that way.
I'm Rich Nicodem.
And I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero, and we thank you for joining us for another episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Catch us in 2 weeks here on BBS Radio Network and visit our website, paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Stay spooky, and thanks for listening.
Joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.